China is certainly not relaxing on Tibet. Beijing has had a chokehold on the region for more than 60 years. Tibet's spiritual leader, the Dalai Lama, has been forced to live in exile in India since he fled Tibet back in 1959. Now, the Dalai Lama's moral weight has made him an inspiring figure, but his celebrity has not brought freedom to his people. Tim Johnson recounts the struggle of the Dalai Lama and Tibetans in a new book. It's called Tragedy in Crimson. Johnson says the uprisings in the Middle East have energized Tibetans in exile.
Yet the reality is that the Tibetans watch this with great interest and know they really can't do anything. I mean, what can they do that will bring about change? They're not dealing with an aged autocrat. They're dealing with a whole apparatus here that has a mechanism to replace itself. We'll see a change of leadership in the Chinese Communist Party in next year, in 2012. So there's a renovation process that there hasn't been in some of these other one-party autocratic states. But the real reason is that were Tibetans to rise up, as they did in a very broad way in 2008, the reaction is crushing. In Lhasa,
literally.
In Lhasa, March 14th of 2008, there were riots, and they were very severe. 300 fires across the city. Banks looted, people pulled off motorcycles and beaten, stores set on fire. Really a terrible situation. Now, there were a series of peaceful protests across the Tibetan plateau that followed that. Only about 20% of the protests were violent by any means. But the Chinese reaction, specifically to the Lhasa protests, was very severe. 6 Tibetans have been executed as a result of those protests. There are about 800 political prisoners, Tibetans who have been arrested and charged with various crimes related to those riots. So were the Tibetans to rise up again, the personal costs for them are tremendous.
So it sounds like what you're saying is that the images loom much larger than the more recent images from Tahrir Square in Egypt for Tibetans.
Well, the Tibetans on the plateau receive little information about what's happening in Egypt. And so they would know the bare bones outlines of that, but they wouldn't have penetrating analysis and what this means for other peoples around the world.
One of the points in your book is that when the Dalai Lama does pass, and he's in his mid-70s right now, it will be a watershed event. I'm going to quote here. You say, his death would rid the Chinese ruling party of a prominent global critic beloved in many parts of the world, but also potentially radicalizing Tibetans despairing over their lack of a freer homeland. Would they have any more power then than they do now, the Tibetan people?
No, they would have less.
But then how would that radicalizing take shape?
Because they would feel desperate. The Dalai Lama is gone. There may be no immediate reincarnation. There would be no galvanizing figure for
the Tibetan
cause.
In fact, the Chinese want to take over the reincarnation process.
They do, and so that would leave Tibetans literally desperate. How many times I was asked on the Tibetan plateau by Tibetans that I talked with, they would look at me and say, will His Holiness the Dalai Lama come this year? And I just was heartbroken to say, no, he won't come this year. He hasn't been allowed in 50 years. He may never be allowed to set foot on the Tibetan plateau again. And this, for the Tibetans, is just devastating.
What have they gained through the Dalai Lama?
Tragically little. I feel that he's risen as a universal moral figure by talking about interfaith, religious harmony, and universal values to be on the same level as people like Martin Luther King and Gandhi. And yet, despite his effect on tens of millions of people around the world with a fairly simple message of compassion and warm-heartedness, he's been able to do tragically little for the majority of his followers who live within China.
Because?
Because there's very little he can do, because the Chinese government has become so powerful.
But as you said, one of the most charismatic leaders and almost celebrities on the planet.
Well, it's been beyond the ability of the Dalai Lama to bring about the pressure on China that would make a difference. In fact, you know, the Dalai Lama advocates nonviolence. But there's a minority of Tibetans who say, look, we've got nowhere. And once the Dalai Lama is gone, I'm sure that a scattering of Tibetans would say, we should pursue a guerrilla strategy because we've got nowhere.
Thank you very much for talking with us. The book is called Tragedy in Crimson, How the Dalai Lama Conquered the World but Lost the Battle with China. Tim Johnson, thank you.
Thank you.